The title of the message this morning is simply called. Called. You can use the word called in lots of different ways, like what are you called? And if somebody called you a name, your name, his name shall be called Jesus, right? And so you can use it as a label. You can use it to, as you're talking about calling somebody to come towards you, or please, would you come this way? Or you could use it like Jesus used it here, calling his 12 disciples. He called them unto him, but he didn't just call them to say, come right here with me now. He called them to send them out. He called them to serve. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Mark chapter 6, look at verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12. I did that too fast tonight. I'm still hearing pages turning. You there? Mark 6, 7, I want you to see it. Okay, let's start over. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip. I looked that up, and the dictionary that I have, it's an 18-something dictionary, defines scrip as a bag or something that you would carry things in. All right, so I'm going to call it a scrip, but just understand what that is. It wasn't a script, which would be a little bit different than a scrip. A script would be maybe lines that you memorize for the Christmas program. A script is a bag. So he says, I don't want you to take this with you. Commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now there's going to be a few verses in between. We won't preach about this week, about John the Baptist, his ministry, and the murder of John the Baptist, actually. But we're going to skip right over that and look at verse number 30. So Mark chapter 60, verse 30. You got two stories right here going on at the same time. Kind of like some of you, you like talking on the phone. Some of you like texting better. All right? How many phone talkers? You like talking better than texting. Okay? How many like texting better than talking? Now, I like texting better than talking. Now, I'm just doing this to wake you up and get you looking back up here. Okay? We're going to come back to the message in just a minute. I like texting because I can have more than one conversation going on at the same time. But you got to be careful not to send the wrong part of the conversation to the wrong person. So here we've got two stories going on at the same time. Jesus is calling his disciples. He's sending them out. And then you got the story of John the Baptist. And after the story of John the Baptist, is coming back to the disciples. Okay, verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So you got the story. Let's pray, and hopefully have a message that will be very helpful for you. Lord, I pray that you would use this message this morning, open our hearts, and I pray that we would hear your word as you have it for us. And I pray that you would help us to learn more about this call to be with you and the call to serve you. Help us to understand what it means a bit. Help us to yield to it. Lord, I pray that you would, out of the service this morning, you would raise up some Christians who are willing to serve you, willing to get closer to you, to get to know you better, and then to do your will. And I pray that you'd bless it. Help me to say the right words. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 7. That's where we're starting out this morning. We're using that very first verse for most of the message. He called unto him the 12. And began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, this was not a call to be saved, but a call to serve. We're going to talk about the word call here in a little bit. The word calling in the Bible has caused some confusion among people. And I want to help to clear that up just a little bit for you. Just help you understand a little bit of this doctrine and a little bit about salvation. Hopefully this will help you out. So what Jesus is doing is not a call to be saved. He's not calling them, and all 12 of them, because he called them, got saved. Now, I have a reason for that. The Bible says he called on him the 12. But I don't understand all that happened with Judas. But I do know that Judas betrayed him, and And you have one disciple out of these 12 disciples that ends up falling away from God and not following with God. I won't go into all of that detail there, but here's what this is. This is not a call to be saved. This is not salvation. This is service. He says, I want you to come closer to me. I want you to come to me. I'm going to call you to me, and then I'm going to send you out to serve me. So understand this right here at the very beginning. Not a call for salvation, not a call to be saved, but a call to serve. But I will say this. Before you answer the call to serve Jesus, you need to answer the call to trust Jesus as your Savior. This is so important. I'll show you some verses here in just a moment that everything that needs to be done for your salvation has already been accomplished. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for every sin that you've ever committed and I've ever committed. He paid the price for sin. He died on the cross as your substitute so that you could simply accept His gift of eternal life and simply accept His gift of forgiveness. He did everything that needed to be done on the cross. All you need to do is accept, trust Him as your Savior. So understanding that, I'll give you some verses for that in just a moment, but before you answer the call to serve, I think everybody should serve Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. And I think every one of us should be busy serving the Lord, but before you even consider that, before you start thinking, how can I serve the Lord, I want you to know for sure that you are saved, that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Give me a minute and I'll explain this. Realize, as the Bible says, that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm not going to tell you all my sins. I'm glad I don't have to. You don't have to tell me all your sins. But I'm a sinner. I am a sinful person. Nobody had to teach me how to sin. I was pretty good at it naturally. Nobody had to teach me how to tell a lie. I figured that one out by myself. I am a sinner. You're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So I want to show you very briefly how you can answer that call to simply be saved. This is not a call for salvation, but before you say, Lord, I want to serve you, you need to take care of your eternal destination. You need to know for sure that when this life is over, you will be in heaven forever with God. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize that there is a punishment for sin, and that punishment is to be separated from God forever in a place that is called hell. The Bible says that Jesus said it to Nicodemus, he that believeth not, talking about on himself, is condemned already. He said, if you do not believe on Jesus Christ, you do not trust Him as your Savior, that there is a punishment. The Bible teaches that. Realize you're a sinner. Realize the punishment for your sin is to be separated from God forever in a place that is called hell. Realize that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. I deserve to go to hell for my sins, but Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for me so that I don't have to. And I'm not special. You're the same as me. I'm just a sinful person. You're just like I am. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for your sins, just like He paid the price for my sins. And He wants to give you a free gift of eternal life. And the Bible teaches that if you would just, let me say it this way. I don't say it this way very often. Trust God enough to ask Him to forgive your sin and give you His free gift of eternal life, that He would do it. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So I want to tell you, we're talking mostly about serving Jesus this morning. But before you start serving Jesus, you've got to be saved. Answer this call. God loves you. Why would He send His Son Jesus to die on the cross? I mean, everything was great in heaven. Why would He send Him to this wicked, sinful earth to be beaten and tortured and crucified if He didn't love you? I mean, He loves you. He loves you so much He died for you, and He wants to make a way for you to go to heaven. He did make a way for you to go to heaven if you simply accept Jesus Christ as the payment for your sins. It may sound simple, but here's what's involved. It's involved in me saying, I can't get to heaven by myself. I'm not good enough to get to heaven by myself. I've got to trust Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He paid the price for my sins. If you're not saved this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ personally as your Savior this morning, would you do it? Before we leave today, at the very end of the message, I'm going to give an invitation, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand and have somebody show you from a Bible how you can be saved. Please take that opportunity. Somebody will go through and answer your questions, show you from the Bible how you personally can be saved. And once you're saved, you'll be able to serve God. What an awesome thing that will be. Now, some people will tell you that only certain people are called for salvation. We're going to use that word called this morning. And then he called unto him the 12. Some people will say there's only certain people that Jesus died for, and he only called certain people to himself, and his atonement for sin was limited to a certain number of people. And I will say that is a false doctrine. I'm going to give you some reasons for that, and hopefully you don't get upset at me if that's something that you've been taught. But I want you to see it, because I want you to realize Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for everybody to be saved. And sometimes when we use this word called, we get kind of confused, and we start thinking, well, he probably only called a few people. See, some people will teach you that Jesus only died on the cross for a select group of people. Of course, they always believe that they're part of that group. Isn't that interesting how that works out? And they usually believe that their wives and children somehow made that group as well. And that's not true, though. Because Jesus died for everybody. Let me give you some verses to help you understand how it really happens. The Bible is clear that Jesus died for the sins of every person. 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to pay for everybody's sins in the whole world. Not just mine, not just yours, not even just the people that you love or the people that you like. Everybody. He paid for everybody's sins. So whenever we're talking about called, we're not just talking about a few people getting saved. Just want you to understand that before we jump into the rest of the message. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's anybody. Salvation is open for anybody who would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. John 12:32, Jesus said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Not just a few men, not just some men, not just people that I like or I don't like, not just if you live on this side of the tracks or you're this nationality or whatever group that you happen to be, but all men. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and he was crucified, hung on that cross, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, we're talking about this call. How do you know if God has called you to serve him? Jesus has got these disciples, and the Bible says he called unto him his 12 disciples. And he sends them out and gives them some commands and tells them to go out and serve him. How do you know if he's called you? Well, let me help you with that. Go to Romans, if you would, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, you've heard these verses before. You know these verses. But how do you know if God's called you? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is one of those famous verses that a lot of people know. Most of us misquote it a bit. But I want to read it to you. I want you to see, we're talking about being called. Romans 8:28. How do you know if God has called you to serve him? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So there's some people that he has called according to his purpose. What are we talking about? We'll keep on reading. We'll get a little explanation here. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you're getting yourself in some deep water here. You're going to get yourself in trouble here. I think I'm going to give you an explanation that is really going to help you, and really simple, actually. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God knows who's going to be saved. We know that. God knows everything. And did you realize that who he knows, he's got a plan for you? If you are saved, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has a plan for you as a Christian. All right? And that plan is to be predestinated. You're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. When you get saved, and God knows if you're going to get saved or not. He doesn't make you get saved. You've got a free will, but he knows. For whom he did foreknow, he knows if you're going to get saved or not. He knows if you're going to trust Christ as your Savior or not. If you get saved, God's got a plan for you. For every Christian, here's God's plan for you: to be conformed to the image of his Son. You're predestined to that. That's what's going to happen if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's not saying that God has predestined this person to be saved and this person to go to hell. That is saying that when you are saved, God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's really very simple. Now, I want you to keep reading here because it gets even better than that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, first of all, I want you to understand, this is a little bit of a Bible study that I wanted you to get in here because this is such an important thing to understand. This is not what we would call an ordered list. You know what an ordered list is? First this, then this, then this, then this. These are not prerequisites. If you signed up for college, you probably had to have a prerequisite done before you could take, what was it, a chemistry 201, you had to take physical science 100 or whatever it is. Before you could take math 200, you got to take math 100. Most of us understand that with English, right? Before you can start college, you got to get this English 100 or 101 out of the way. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about get this done, then get this done, then get this done, then get this done. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. It's not predestinated, then he called, then he justified, then he glorified. It's not step one, then step two, then step three, then step four. This is what happens at the moment of salvation. God has predetermined, predestinated, that every person who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior will be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's Romans 8, 29. And if you're saved, you're not only predestinated to be like Jesus, but you're called to serve Him, you're justified in the sight of God, and you're glorified. We'll talk about that glorified just a minute because I might have confused us just a bit. Look, it's not that you get saved and then you get justified. Let's see, get the right order here. It's not that you get saved and you get called. And then you get called and you get justified. Then you can be glorified. It's not an order. It's this happens at salvation. If he called you, then he also called him whom he did predestinate. Let me start with that one. When you get saved, God says, I have a plan for you to become like Jesus Christ. And because you are saved, I got this plan for you to be like my son. You will be conformed to the image of my son. That is my plan for you. And I have called you. And I have justified you. And I have glorified you. Now, we're going to explain that here in just a moment. But get this in your mind. It's not one of these days I'll be justified. It's not like I started my salvation journey and I'm becoming saved. Careful, some of the new translations will say that. Not that you shall be saved, but that you will be becoming saved. It's not a journey that happens over time where you start getting saved and you do a little bit more and you get a little bit more saved. No, salvation happens at the moment where you say, Jesus Christ, I realize you as the Son of God, you paid the price for my sin, and I am trusting you as my Savior. Not the words, but the position of the heart. All right? So whenever you're saved, I know I'm hitting this a lot, but I want you to get this. When you're saved, so much happens. This isn't everything that happens, but you're called to serve God. You're justified in the sight of God. You're glorified, but you haven't received your glorified body yet. It gives us a past tense. We see Jesus. He's crucified. He's risen again, and he comes back in his glorified body. People, the disciples didn't recognize him. They're in a closed room, and they're eating dinner there, and he just shows up in the middle of the room, his glorified body. He's at the right hand of God right now in with his glorified body. You haven't received your glorified body yet. It will be worth it all, right? Think about that. All the issues and problems that we have because of the sinful flesh, and even the physical problems, one of these days, they're not going to be an issue anymore. The glorified body that one day we will have, he says, you are called, you're justified, and you're glorified. Now, you haven't received it yet, but God sees the past, present, and future all in the same glance. I'm kind of explaining something deep here, so I want to make sure you get it. I'm looking at your eyes to see if you're getting it, all right? If you've got that glazed over look, we're going to have to come back and do it again. So don't do that to everybody else, because I'm wanting to go eat lunch. All right, look, Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But God sees the past, present, and future all the same. He's not bound by time like we are. Can't understand it. I probably can't explain it very well, but it's the truth. Before God created time, there was God. You got that. So he's not bound by time. So when Jesus, he sees Jesus, God sees Jesus dying on the cross, and he sees you at the same time. You got that? Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He looks and he sees Jesus dying on the cross. And he looks right now and he sees me and he sees you. And he's not bound by time, so he looks up and he sees it at the same time. And here's what it looks like to God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's Galatians 2:20, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So God looks at the past and the present, and there's not 2,000 years. I mean, there is 2,000 years between it for us, but not for God. So he looks at the cross and he sees you on the cross whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I am crucified with Christ. I don't know any other better way to say that. What about glorified? Well, God sees Jesus sitting on the throne of heaven in his full glory. And he sees you having trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he sees it at the same time. And here's what it looks like to God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. When God looks at you if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when God looks at you, he doesn't just see you and struggling to live this life and struggling with the sins of this life. He sees you on the cross with Jesus Christ, but he also sees you. I'm crucified with Christ, okay? But he also sees you, in him he also glorified. God looked at Jesus today sitting on his right hand, and he sees you there as well. That's the best way I can describe it. I may not have done a really good job of that, but look, we're talking about being called. First of all, it's not just a few people that God called to be saved, it's everybody. And whenever you are saved, you are automatically called. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that means you're somebody who is saved, because once you're saved, you're automatically predestinated to become like Jesus Christ. Once you're saved, get this, and I'll move on. If you nod, I'll know that you got it. We'll move on. All right? Don't nod yet. I didn't say it. Once you're saved, you are called to serve God. All of that just to help you understand, you are called to serve God. And I'm going to have to skip a little bit for the sake of time here. This is not only Jesus calling his disciples. It's not a call for salvation. It's a call for service. But it's not only a call to serve, but a call to be with Jesus. There is in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth. Before he sent the 12 disciples out, he called them to him. He called them to himself. So this is not only a call to serve, but a call to be with Jesus. Now remember when Jesus went to Bethany to visit Lazarus and Mary and Martha? You may remember this. He gets there and Mary's there and Martha's there. And it's from Martha's perspective here. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. These are, you know, these two sisters. You know, they're fussing with each other. Martha's doing all the fussing, right? Mary is just there with Jesus. Jesus came to visit. What would you do if Jesus came to visit? Leave? Right? So, I don't know, but I'd be so scared to death. But here, Jesus came to visit. And here's Mary just sitting there with him, listening to him. Martha is busy. Martha's vacuuming the floors. Martha's doing the dishes. Martha's making dinner. And she gets upset. And she comes and she says, Lord, would you tell my sister to get up and come help me work? And Jesus says to Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus didn't want them just to serve him. What did Jesus want? Just come be with me. See, this call, Jesus calls his disciples, it wasn't just a call to serve, go, go. It was first a call, come. Come to me. Come spend time with me. Come close to me so I can teach you. Come close to me so I can enjoy being with you. Have you ever considered that God likes being with you? First of all, you got to realize that God is real. All right, once you get that, Realize God really does like being with you. And it's not because how great you are and wonderful you are. I know none of us are great and wonderful. It's because who He is. You're made in His image. Have you ever noticed, this is great, you ever noticed why you think your kids are cuter than anybody else's kids? No, seriously. Seriously. Or am I the only one? I just let the cat out of the bag, right? So why are my kids cuter than your kids? Why are your kids cuter than mine? Why do we think that our kids, we judge everybody else's kids, not like mean judging them, but like, my kids, you know, they're cuter than those kids. And why do we do that? Well, they're made in our image. There's this connection there. They look like us. I have this theory on why, and it's, I think we think our own kids are better looking than other people's kids because our kids look like us. And we do tend to judge other people's kids, but I don't think it's right. I think it's just human nature. It's just, you have such cute kids, but mine are cuter. I know we don't say that, but I know you've thought it. I posted a picture up on Facebook last week of me and Jonathan together. We're holding up some church tracks together, and I put my one of my favorite soul winning partners, and I love going soul winning with my kids. And my sister, she's in Africa, and she replied to that, and she said, "He looks just like you." And I said, "Poor guy." But that's not what I wanted to say. Because inside, I'm thinking, awesome, he looks like me. Yeah, he looks like me. I'm his dad. And it's special to have that connection. But Adam, will you put those pictures up there just one at a time? You know, some people even look like their pets. Now, these are pretty amazing pictures here. Go through them just kind of quickly. Isn't it incredible how some people just kind of tend to look like their pets? I don't know that these are even their pets. They look similar to each other. And they probably think or judge other people's pets compared to their pets. You know, my dog's cuter. Well, because it looks like me, right? There's actually a study. I read about it yesterday, and I'll have to move on real quick. There's actually a study where they found that people choose pets, and there's people more often choose pets that look like them than otherwise. I don't understand all the study. I didn't take the time to read the whole thing. What do you think God's thinking when He looks at you, created in His own image? I know I look at my kids and I say, wow, there's something special there. There's a connection there. I mean, they could be the ugliest kids in the world, but they're my kids and they look like me, so yes, I love them, right? There's a special connection. I don't know if this is the same way with God, but I know He wants to be with you. And I know when He looks at you, you were created in His image. What an amazing thought. And God wants to be with you. When you look at your kids, you see a bit of yourself in them. Their looks, their habits, their likes, their dislikes. You're drawn to them with a special connection. And God likes being with you because He loves you. God likes being with you because, now think about this, He is heavily invested in you. Some other parents' kids, they may be really, really cute kids, but I don't know them. I've not gotten to know them. I've not invested in them. I've not changed their diapers and stayed up with them all night when they were sick. And I haven't done all that with somebody else's kids. But my kids, there's a connection there, and I am heavily invested in my kids. Think about how heavily invested God is in you. And not just you, but every other person. It's amazing how God can do this, where He can look at you and say, I love you, and I have invested so much into you, I want to be with you. God likes being with you because you're His creation. You know, if you've been saved, you have been called to be with Jesus. Just like Jesus called His disciples to be with Him, He wants you to be with Him. He really likes spending time with you. Can you get that this morning? God really likes spending time with you. The first thing He did when He called His disciples was come. Come to me. Come spend time with me. Not only is it a call to be with Jesus, but it's a call to be like Jesus. We're almost done. Let me get this to you. Not just a call to be with Jesus, not just a call to serve, but a call to be like Jesus. Now, what did He do? He calls them, then He sends His disciples out to do exactly what He had been doing already. He called them, and He gave them power over unclean spirits, just like He had. He commanded them to take nothing with them on their journey. No money, no script, no food, no change of clothes. Don't take two coats. Take one pair of sandals. Just go like I have been going to these towns and do what I have been doing. I'm going to give you power over unclean spirits. I want you to go, and I want you to preach, and I want you to teach what I've been preaching and teaching. They went out and preached the same message of repentance that he'd been preaching. He instructed them to treat people like he would treat them. He said, if someone welcomes you into their house, stay there until you leave the city. If someone doesn't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave. I'm not familiar with that custom, but the idea here is somebody is rude to you, somebody doesn't welcome you, and somebody doesn't welcome the message you're preaching, you shake the dust off your feet. Like it's a visible, I'm leaving and I have nothing to do with you. Now, we don't shake the dust off of our feet most often. There's other things that we do in our culture to show people where we're kind of upset with them and, you know, kind of leave me alone, and we don't answer phone calls, we don't return texts, whatever it is. Listen, do like I would do it. Go preach the message like I would preach it. Go to the places where I would go. Take the same kind of clothes and things that I would take. They cast out devils like they'd seen him do. They healed sick people like he had done. Now, if you've been saved, not only have you been called to serve Jesus, not only have you been called to be with Jesus, but you've been called to be like Jesus. Like these disciples where Jesus said, go out and minister like I've been ministering. God says, I want you to go out and I want you to serve like I have been serving. God's ultimate plan for you is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now he says, get out there and serve me, go with me, and be like me as you do it. I struggle. I want to be like Christ, but I know I'm not. But he says, I want you to be like me. If you've been saved, you've been called to serve Jesus. If you've been saved, you've been called to be with Jesus. If you've been saved, you've been called to be like Jesus. And that's huge. I think the biggest thing I want you to get, and we're done, is the fact that God really likes you. And he wants to be with you. And have you done what you need to do to be able to spend the time with him? I mean, think about it. Here's where we mess up. He's not just this like cloudy cloud thing up in the sky. That was descriptive, wasn't it? Cloudy cloud thing. How do you see God? Do you see the old man? Do you see Michelangelo's paintings of him? I mean, what, when you think of God, what do you see? I'm not exactly sure, but I know that whatever he looks like, he wants to be with me. He loves you so much he sent his son to die on the cross for you. He wants to be with you. He's not this mean old God that is looking for times when you mess up that he can send lightning and strike you. He wants a relationship with you. Jesus, the Son of God, looks at his disciples and said, come to me. He called them to himself before he sent them out. And I want you to get that this morning. God really wants to spend time with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to spend time with him as the real person that he is. Father, I pray that you would use this message this morning. Lord, I think most of us are guilty of not spending time with you. We're probably guilty of not even realizing how much you want to spend time with us. And here we've got an example of Jesus Christ, creator of the universe, that says to these 12 men, come, I want to spend time with you. Come serve me, but before you serve me, come to me, come with me. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to make a decision to get to know you better, to spend that time with you, to realize that you are a God that really does want to be with us. You want that time together with us. I pray that you'd help us to make that happen. Lord, I pray also that you'd help us to serve you. We're called to serve you. Every person that's been saved, Lord, I believe you've got a job for all of us. I believe you've got a ministry for all of us. And every one of us are called to serve you. I pray that we would be involved in the kingdom of God and we'd be involved in serving you. And Lord, this morning, if there's someone who's not been saved yet, I'm not sure what they might be trusting, but Lord, they're not trusting that Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for their sins. Maybe they're trusting being good. Maybe they're trusting going to a certain church. Lord, I pray that this morning they would simply trust Jesus they accept would accept his gift on the cross as payment for their sins. Lord, I pray that they'd be saved this morning.